This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
We interrupt this music broadcast to bring you breaking news. The United States of America has been invaded by the Great White North, and I, for one, welcome our new Canadian overlords, Theory of a Dead Man.
Yes. Step in line, everybody. Step in line.
Well, it's like, you know, like Game of Thrones, instead of winter is coming, theory is coming.
Yes.
And you we guys bring winter with it because we're
Honestly, I'm loving the theory is coming hashtag you guys are putting on everything because it's really got, you know, it's building this ominous, you know, moment that's coming.
What is happening? It actually ties into Game of Thrones because we're bringing Ed Sheeran with us as well.
That would
be playing
perfect.
A lute.
You know, I was really disappointed that he didn't get murdered.
Yeah. You know what?
Didn't cut his head off or anything. What the hell? Where is the mountain or something?
Why do the cameo? Like, why?
That's what we were all wondering. That.
The show had, like,
gratuitous.
So much, you know, that something about it. And,
yeah, it's like, did the show need to do that?
It didn't.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
I like to have, like, a lot of the
Game cameo. Of Thrones are like, man, we really need a ratings kick.
Yeah.
On episode one, Katie season
Perry.
Seven.
Yeah.
Let's hear your ideas. I got it, guys.
Yeah, who was the genius who came up with Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
Come on.
He'd be a perfect lute player.
We need a wench number two,
we need
Miley
a,
Cyrus.
We need a bard.
Yeah, a bard. Love it.
So, it is no secret that you guys are working on a new album.
Yes.
Tell us, when did the writing process start for this one?
Oh, about a year ago, I would say. Yeah. About a year, and we went up over to London, England, with a producer named Martin Tareffi, who's done a ton of amazing stuff at his studio. And that was in January, February. I think it was around February where Dave slipped in the tub and hit
That's
his
right.
face.
Smashed
an
my
old
face.
Man, old naked man.
Yeah. I had to come and break the door down,
yep.
Carry my naked body to the hospital.
Yep. Yeah. It was amazing.
I was like, my hero.
So then we finished the record, and here we are.
Yeah, record's done. It's recorded. It's mastered now. Everything. We're ready to get rolling.
Oh damn! So when's it coming out?
The album comes out October 27th. It's called Wake Up Call. I'm so nervous. I'm gonna throw up.
Me too, but not because I'm nervous.
Because you're hungover.
You guys have a good weekend. You party a little.
Yeah, we did the Rise Above Fest up in Bangor, Maine, which was a ton of fun to reunite with Hailstorm, Shinedown, a bunch of our friends, Pop Evil.
Yeah, what a great.
It was just a ton of fun.
It was so fun. And, you know, and we would play and we would see a bunch of the bands watching us, then we would watch them play. And then, you know, the timing of the festival, because Rise Above, it's the fifth annual. This is the first time we've been asked, which. We're so grateful we have, because every year we're like, man, I wish we could get do that, because it's for suicide awareness. Save.org, I think, is the website. So we got to play. It was amazing. Crowd was great. And then we hung out with a bunch of friends, and Dave had too many wobbly pops.
Too many wobbly pops and not enough of the stuffed haddock.
Yeah,
you Dean had the stuffed haddock.
We actually had Sean Morgan in here on Friday to talk about the festival and all the work that he's put into it and the organizations he works with. I mean, it's an incredible thing that he's built out of such an awful tragedy. You know, because most people know the reason that festival was started was for suicide prevention awareness. And, you know, that kind of stemmed on the death of Sean's brother.
That's
who
right.
took his own life.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm sure it has to just feel great to be a part of something so incredible and so helpful for people, especially these days when it's more, you know, awful than ever, because we've had two, you know, really big, you know, icons of our industry, of our music, take their own lives in Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington. And, you know, it's enough to just make you stop and just wonder, like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we've been saying, like verbatim, those exact words. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
But you know what? That's why you're right. It's so important what Sean's doing. And pretty cool. We felt pretty happy to be invited for that show. But you're right. It's an important conversation, and people need to start you know, normalizing it, I think.
Mm. Unfortunately, yeah, we have to kind of come to grips with it and honestly do better.
I was saying, you know, like the show is great, but there needs to be five of them across America. It shouldn't even be just in one place. It's like it needs to get bigger and bigger. And I think that's probably maybe something they'll strive for one day. But
I hope so. Since we're talking about it, have you guys ever toured or played with Linkin Park or Soundgarden? And do you have any maybe like favorite stories that you would want to share?
I never met either Chris or Chester. Did we ever play with Linkin Park? I don't remember a single time.
Metallica show. It was Metallica, Linkin Park, and I think Limp Bizkit was on there.
I didn't go to that. I remember you guys going to that. It was in Detroit or something. Yeah.
Yeah, they put on an awesome show. But yeah,
growing up in Vancouver, we're huge, Seattle music scene fans. So yeah. Soundgarden was like, for me, one of my biggest influences. I love Soundgarden. But never met Chris Cornell, saw him live a bunch of times. My favorite memory of him was when I went and saw him play in Seattle. He played at that theater there, was it called the Moore Theater? Mm-hmm. And he was like right up front of the stage singing, right at the front of the stage, and some chick just reached up and grabbed him right in the junk. And like he didn't even flinch. Like, and he stood there and sang for another like 5 or 6 seconds, and her hand was just like right there. And I was like, man, how is he just... not shrug that off like that. It would have startled the hell out of me or something, I think. And he's just up there singing. She's got his hand on, just grabbing on.
I don't understand. On what?
His wiener.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now do you understand?
Yeah, because you're like going around it so much. As if,
I called it his junk. I mean, you know, get right into
Johnson.
It.
Johnson.
But it was pretty awesome. I was like, man, that guy, he's a rock star.
He was one of the best, man. He was one of the best.
Absolutely. I want to go back. Let's talk a little more about the album. Can you tell me, were there any new like skills or techniques that you tried out for this one that you haven't done before?
I think Ty played a ton of piano actually on this record, so I mean that's probably new.
Yeah, I mean a lot more instrumentation. The Martin Tereffi, the producer, he was really excited because he first listened to the demos. Our A&R guy sent him some demos blind, didn't say who it was. And he actually thought it was some sort of maybe a pop artist or something. And then he heard one song, the song called Glassjaw, which is one of our heavier tracks on the record. And he goes, wait a minute, is this a rock band? So he called P. He's like, this is a rock band? He's like, yeah, it's this rock band from Canada. He's like, oh, well, I want to do it. So we went over there wanting to make a different record. We wanted to use a different producer, a different, completely different way.
Different country.
Yeah, everything we wanted to do different. And then I think he was hoping that we would, because he doesn't do a lot of rock records, so he was hoping to do a big rock record.
He's like, oh, this is my chance to get into the rock world, guys.
And he's like, how about, he was a Swedish guy, so he's like, how about we put some more guitars? I'm like, nah, no more guitars. Oh. So we use a lot of different instrumentation and a lot of different keyboards and synthesizers. And
just take ourselves out of our comfort zone and try, you know, there's a lot of... what would we normally do? Let's do the opposite. Let's try something different.
Yeah, they don't change any guitar strings or bass strings or drum skins over there. Like,
it's like 50-year-old strings.
You do not change the bass strings. Like, how dare you? I think at one point they changed the snare drum, and the guy that owned the snare drum snapped.
Did you just change my snare drum? He was freaking out.
Yeah, he got mad. He came right into the drum room just screaming at me. Oh, yeah. Like, it's not okay. It's just a snare drum head. And he was like, no, you don't change that. There's a tone. He was angry, yeah.
It's so funny because in the past when we do records, it's like, you know, you're changing drum skins every, you know, three times a day, and then you're...
The guitar sounds bad. Let's change that.
Yeah, changing strings on guitars all the time.
Yeah, it was weird.
So it was interesting how they did things so different over there. And I tell you, it sounded amazing. Oh, mm-hmm. So they knew what they were doing, that's for sure.
Yep.
I wonder how much effort, you know, they went into getting that. Because, you know, everyone likes to sit there and, you know, turn the knobs and find the tone that they really like. To have it, you know, especially with the drums, just to have it, like, set for you already, you know, is that just something that they've been working with, or did they do that ahead of time?
I'm sure they've probably worked in that studio so much, they've dial in the drum sounds, they know how to make it sound amazing. I think that, you know, this, as far as like 50-year-old strings and stuff like that, I just think they just, I don't think they want to change anything. I think they like the way everything sounds and don't mess with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We had some strings that had like 4 strings on it and you just play around. Just
well, but that's the thing is that a lot of it was broken. That's the thing. It just
well, I want to know, like, you know, what if, you know, somebody broke a string? What if someone, like, you know, just like put their foot through a drum because they had a bad take one day? Did they just leave them there?
Just kind of, well, everything that, I mean, everything worked. It's just, it was.
So what you're saying, Joe, is if it's already broke, don't break it more. That's
exactly, yeah.
That's
well, that's what they told us. He's like, oh, we got lots of drums. We got lots of stuff there for you. And we showed up in this, you know, this tiny little old Ludwig kit. It was barely, you know, standing. Cymbal stands were broken and they were hanging and I couldn't, you know, nothing was working. So we just kind of taped stuff together and that was it. Way you go.
Damn.
Still sounds great.
Yep. Sounds amazing.
So the album is mastered and finished. Where were you the first time you got to listen to the album in its completion?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Just individual songs right now. I haven't listened to it in from front to back yet.
We've been so busy, man. Just been so busy. So
where do you find the time?
Yeah.
It's kind of different now, too, because we used to get like a CD.
Yeah, that's right.
A mastered copy. And
they'd send us a box of discs and stuff. And
yeah, now it's a link.
Not quite as exciting. I mean, it's exciting to hear the songs, but you don't have that physical thing in your hand anymore.
But it's a long time. Like, we finished in February, and it took to now. So it's long for us. We're like, man, let's get this going. Let's just get these people to hear our music. So we're just excited for, at this point, for people to hear it.
Well, I've already heard the single, and hopefully, you know, it's coming out, tomorrow or something like that, right?
RX. Pretty soon, yeah.
Yeah. So the single is RX. Give us a little background on that song and what went into creating it.
Well, it's interesting because we talk a little bit about the suicide problem. And it goes back to, you know, even like Scott Weiland, he was a huge influence for me. I found him dead on his tour bus. There's so much, such a terrible, tragic issue with prescription drugs in this country, opioids, whatever you want to call it. And Chris Cornell, you know... they're saying it's a suicide, and his wife's saying, no, he just took too many Ativan, which can cause tendencies without knowing it. And it's scary is that there's actual doctors that are prescribing this stuff to people. Like, you watch these, it's like almost a joke. You watch these commercials that they do, SNL does parodies of, where at the end of it, the guy rants off as fast as he can.
Side effects,
diarrhea, and death.
And you'll die, too.
And you're laughing. You're like, is this real? You can buy this thing? But you notice on the commercials, they don't ever tell you what it's for.
Right.
They say Lexotrol. And they say, ask your doctor. They don't say it's for heartburn or for depression. And then these doctors actually paid. These people come in and they say, well, we'll pay you 10 G's if you switch this out from the other one.
It's dirty.
It's dirty. It's gross. So that's what RX is. It's kind of just talks about, it's RX. It's just talks about the problem with prescription drugs and how it's just destroying so many wonderful people's lives. It's a really serious song. And we're glad the timing right now, it couldn't be a better time for people to hear that and just go, wow, this is legit. So
I'm glad you said, you know, that it's a serious song because it is. It's a serious topic, but, you know, Theory has this fantastic ability to just, you guys always have this kind of tongue-in-cheek attitude about your music where there's always something a little like poking fun at reality.
Right.
And so the fact that you can take a serious subject like that, write a really, like, you know, dark, powerful song, and there's still, like, some moments in there that kind of make you, you know, laugh.
Yeah. Because it's just how a lot of us, our knee-jerk reaction to things is to kind of put a twist on it. Because you don't, sometimes getting really, really dark becomes actually more depressing, right? So that's always been kind of our way of doing things. To get into making people aware, but this is probably our most serious song I think we've ever done.
Was it a difficult task to record that song, or is there any?
No. I mean, it felt so natural. It felt really good. I mean, it was for us. It was all about the production, how we were going to recreate the idea, the vision in the studio. Because there's so many things we could have done with it. I know we had at one point, we deleted a bunch of stuff and redid it because we were just it just wasn't feeling right. Something wasn't feeling right. But yeah, we just didn't want to do something that was, I guess, had a rock stereotype to it. I think we want to do something that just fit for what we thought the song should have. So that's, I think we're really happy with how it turned out.
Do you have a favorite song on the album?
Favorite song.
That's tough call.
So you know, usually bands, you know, they're writing songs and somebody has like, you know, a hook that they wrote that they really want and you'll really like champion a song to get it on the record and maybe that turns out to be your favorite song. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's a song that you fought really hard for and then something else was, you know, oh, I actually really like this one we did.
There's it's a interesting record because a lot of the songs, they, you know, they, each song has its own kind of feel to it. So there's,
because it takes a while.
Yeah. There's a song called Straight Jacket that I think is probably one of my faves. And another one called Loner that I really love as well.
My favorite.
That's a good one.
They're two of the ones I really dig.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mine's probably Echo. I like Echoes a lot.
Yeah.
It
turned out great.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think a PCH maybe or Goat is probably a good one.
There's a lot of good choices, man. Yeah, Goat's a great one too.
Greatest of all time.
How many tracks are on the album?
It's 11.
11.
Nice.
One cover. 10 songs and one cover.
What's the cover?
Wicked Game.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's odd because we've never had a cover on a record before. We've done covers. But our guy was kind of pushing it. He was just like, you know, you should put this on the record. It was really well done, I thought. But I think he wanted us to do like kind of a rock single version of it. But it would never have worked, I think.
Like a la like the Disturbed.
Sound of Silence. Like, I think we would have botched it. I think it would have probably, it's just not the right song. So we did the opposite. We said, let's do the opposite. Let's just take everything out of it. And we just gutted it. And it's really all, I had to really just nail the vocal take or it wouldn't have worked. It was just.
It's all vocal, that song.
So there's really not a lot going on. And I think we did a great version of it. So we put it on the record. So I think people will dig it.
I think so too.
I mean, if anybody's a fan of this band, they know you guys do excellent work when it comes to covers. You put out 3 in the past year. I mean, you did Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen. And then you did recently, I wrote it down here because I don't know the songs. Cold Water, Major Lazer.
It's like a DJ. That was an interesting one to do because it was just so kind of out of my realm vocally. But that's why I wanted to try to tackle it because it was just so different. Shape My Heart from Sting. It's one of my faves. That's from the Professional soundtrack.
Young Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
And Leon. What's his name?
I don't know what his name is.
His name's Leon in the show.
Yeah.
Great
Depending
movie.
On where you buy the movie from, it's like The Professional or
two different
Leon the Professional.
I think one's like a director's cut or something.
No, maybe, yeah.
The thing that delighted me was looking at the Major Lazer track, the fact that Justin Bieber is on that song.
Yeah.
And that you guys, like, when you put out the cover, you specifically reference, like, oh, you know, Major Lazer with Justin Bieber. And everyone kind of, like, lost their shit that you would dare to cover something that had Justin Bieber involved in it.
We just did a better version.
You did.
Who cares?
You make it better.
I don't understand why people give a shit.
Yeah.
Why waste your
energy? Dude, you can't do that. You can't do Bieber. Why not?
It's a really good song. He didn't write the song. I mean, that's the thing. It's like he just sang on it, just like I did.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good song.
I saw some posts, some pictures on your social feeds. You guys were shooting a video out in L.A.?
Yeah.
What was that for?
RX.
Nice.
And the single.
Yeah, the video is great. It's
we
so
just,
good.
Just saw a final edit of it a couple days ago. It looks great. It's cool for us. It's the first video where we really didn't perform. Just us cruising around in a car, so it was pretty easy to shoot as far as just, you know, hang out in a car.
And a really nice car at that.
It was pretty nice.
It was a 70, what was it, 72?
She was a beast to drive, that's for sure.
Eldorado. Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like a 71, 72.
It's been a while since I drove anything like that, that's for sure.
Yeah. It looks a lot cooler than it drives. Yeah, the thing keeps stalling.
Yeah.
And then you get behind the wheel and you're like, you're going about 40 miles an hour and you're like, this thing is going to totally just pop a blow a tire.
Bottoms out over anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so long, there's like a dip in the road, and you're just sitting on the...
You can't turn. Don't turn the wheel too much. Or starts grinding against the wall of the car. What?
But yes, it's a very sweet car.
It was a sweet ride.
So you guys just like cruising around Venice in that thing for the whole video? And
pretty much, yeah. Just cruising around. Really,
it's a good day's work.
It's a story-driven, video, so just let the story do the talking.
When is it going to be released? Do we know?
I got to think pretty quick. I mean,
I hope so.
I don't know. Maybe someone from our management could give us some hand signals.
Guess what? He
When's
doesn't.
I don't know either.
No,
he
they
doesn't.
Don't know. They're clueless. No. He just Friday. Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday.
So I think around the Thursday, Friday of this week. I don't know what day it is today.
The only people that know less than the management and the label is the band. So,
I wanted to say, jump back in the Wayback Machine here for a bit. Come September, the self-titled Theory of a Dead Man album is going to be 15 years old.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Just think back to when you guys were creating that album, maybe if you have like a favorite memory from it.
Well, it means I could have a 15-year-old son or daughter. there were some good memories there. Now, making it was
my
crazy.
Favorite was, you know, driving to the studio at like, you know, 3 in the afternoon, but then driving home every day at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. in your Honda Civic or what the hell you were driving back then.
Before, yeah, I had this.
It died completely.
I had a Honda Civic. It was a piece of shit. It's a POS, and it finally broke down at the studio. I couldn't get it started.
Yeah,
and then it snowed, and it would have like 2 feet of snow. You couldn't see it anymore. It sat there for like 2 months. So me and Dave had to rent a car. Yeah.
But I think my favorite memory is we had this Bop It game.
Bop It.
So competitive. We were all trying to beat each other's high scores.
Yeah, we had
Bop
It.
Remember Bop It?
I do remember Bop It.
We also had the Carolina Hurricanes come by the studio. You know, they were fresh off of a Stanley Cup victory or something like that. And they came and hung out, and they played the Vancouver Canucks the next night. And I remember they were all in the studio drinking and partying, and then there was a couple guys puking in the bush and stuff.
That's
and then
right.
The Canucks destroyed them 7-1 or 7-0 the next night. And we're like,
you're
assist!
Welcome. Yeah, you are welcome.
We gave them that win.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good memories from that first record, yeah, actually, thinking back. Thanks for taking us down memory lane there. It was nice.
Thanks for going there with me. you guys are out on a headlining run right now. I think you got a couple more dates and a couple festivals in August. So tell me how the shows have been going so far.
Awesome. You know, we haven't had a record out in 3 years. So we just, every summer we usually do the festival state county fair kind of run, and every year it's different places, but we usually fly, and I tell you, man, we hate flying. It's gross. It gets gross.
You just want to get on a bus.
You do a show, and then you go to bed in the hotel, and you're at lobby call at 4:20 a.m. or something, and you're like,
fly to the next one.
Can we get a tour bus, please? So we just hit some towns in between the towns on the weekends, and they've been great. It's good. It's
you know, 1 week of dates left.
Yeah,
like you said, I think we're announcing a big fall tour here coming up in the next week or two as well. So we'll be out for 7 weeks, September, October, November, somewhere in there.
Yes.
Well, I know you guys are going to Sonic Boom in Wisconsin, right?
That's right.
Was that October, I think?
Yeah, October 1st.
Masson?
Yep.
That's right.
It's our buddies over in JJO.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Good. So big tours coming. We're hoping we get that announcement. We're all on the edge of our seats here.
Yes.
Yeah. And album's freaking coming in October. So
yeah.
There's lots going on in the theory world right now. Yeah, it's good for us. We spent a lot of time, you know, just sitting at home in the last year. So it's exciting to be back out and playing for some people.
I want to say, like, you guys are pretty consistent with the one album every 3 years.
That's right.
Back at your release schedule. So, you know, is there just like a cycle of like high, low, you get the album out, you do your touring, and then you just like take a year where you don't want to do anything, and then you start to get that itch, you're like, I got to get back in the studio.
Kind of, but it's like 2 years of touring, and then by the time you write the new record and record it, it's been a year, and then
2 years.
So we don't really get a lot of time off. But this one, it felt like it was a little bit of time off. It was nice. I started golfing. I joined the senior tour.
Just got your first win.
Yep, me and John Daly. It was pretty nice. Yeah, nice, very nice.
Do you guys like a little off time, or can you just like, you know, there are a lot of musicians who have troubles like sitting still, and they always have to constantly be doing something.
It's funny because you can look forward to being off so much, and then you get home, and you're home for like a week, and then you're like, it starts itching, and you're like, all right, I'm feeling it, I'm ready to get back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 2 weeks, you're like, okay, it's time to get back on the road. And then you get back on the road, and, you know, you're out for 2 weeks, and you're like, oh, I miss my fam, or I, you know, I want to just chill at home. It's just like an ongoing struggle, I think. You know, when you're not home, you long for it, and when you're not on the road, you long for it.
We live the life of a man that has two families secret from one another.
Yeah.
And you visit... You know, you visit one for a while, and then you're like, I'm sick of these kids.
Yeah.
You visit the other one for a while. It's that stuff really happens, right?
It does. Yeah, at least in TV it does.
Oh, it happens in real life.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I want to meet someone, like, how they thought they were going to pull that off.
No
like,
kidding, man.
When, yeah. Like, when did they think, this is a bad idea? Not going to end well.
Seems stressful.
You know.
Seems like a lot of stress.
I can't name any names, but I definitely had an acquaintance who she was seeing a guy. And she would talk about how, you know, she doesn't know where he works, but he would always come over for dinner and spend the night, and then he would leave in the morning and go to work, but he'd never hang out on the weekends or whatever. And it's like, I'm sorry to tell you, but he has a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you not realize this?
Man, oh, man.
Red flags.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, from the perspective of the guy, it's probably awesome.
Yeah. What was her name again? You said you were yeah. Right.
I cannot say. All right, new
on
album. Is Wake Up Call.
Yeah.
October 27th. Theory of a Dead Man, guys. Thank you very much for coming in and talk to us.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.